This reading can be found in the Bibles in front of you if you want to follow along in there, page number 208. And today's reading is Ephesians 5, 1 to 20. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But fornication and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among saints. Entirely out of place is obscene, silly, and vulgar talk. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no fornicator or impure person or one who is greedy, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes to those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are the light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand that the will of the Lord is, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody for the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather to celebrate Harriet's baptism and to hear your word, open our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Teach us what it means to walk in love, to live in your light, and to grow in wisdom. May your word shape our lives and strengthen our faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, today is a celebration. We have gathered not only to worship God, but also to celebrate the baptism of Harriet. And baptism is a joyful occasion because it reminds us that before we ever loved God, he loved us. That's amazing. Whoever loved God, he loved us. And Harriet has done nothing to earn God's love. She cannot yet understand all that has happened today. And yet, we celebrate God's grace reaching out to her. And that is exactly where Paul begins this passage. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Notice the order. We are dearly loved children first. Then we're called to imitate our Father. Because the Christian faith cannot begin with our effort. It begins with God's grace. It begins with God's love. And today, Harriet's baptism reminds us of that truth. Children learn by imitation. Anyone who spent time around young children know they love copying adults. I just picked a few pictures up there. Sometimes it can be funny and quite endearing. Other times it can be quite embarrassing if they begin to imitate parents' expressions or mannerisms or even language, which you would prefer to keep behind the front door. But children imitate because they feel they belong. They love their parents. They want to do what they are doing. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. But Paul doesn't say imitate God to become his children. He says imitate him because you already belong to him. And that's the difference that grace makes. Obedience grows from a relationship, not the other way around. Church used to say, believe and then belong. No, belong, and then one may believe. In a year or so, Harriet will probably begin to take her first steps. She'll probably wobble or fall, but she'll get up again. And Alice and Jack are not going to reprimand her for falling down. They're going to love her and encourage her and cheer her at every step she makes. And that's what God does to us. He delights in us, his children, when we keep getting up when we've fallen down and follow him. The Christian life is not about a flawless performance, because it was, none of us would be here today. It is about faithfully following Jesus. And I think that's a very beautiful picture of life. We're called to imitate God. Now, some people here, maybe, who don't follow Christ, they might think Christian life's just following rules. But it's not. It's about reflecting the character of our Heavenly Father. In these verses, I think Paul gives us three pictures of the Christian life, which I'd like to look at. To walk in love and forgiveness, to walk as children of light, and to walk in wisdom. So to walk in love and forgiveness. Paul doesn't simply say love one another. He tells us how to love. Last Sunday, if you were here, Nigel mentioned about being to imitate God, and he apologised for the person who was going to be preaching today. But it was right that he did, because the verse that finishes chapter 4 is, in a way, part of chapter 5. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God. Jesus is our model. His love wasn't sentimental. His love wasn't convenient for him. It was sacrificial. It was forgiving. It was tender-hearted. It was cross-centered. And real Christian love costs something. Christian love does involve forgiveness and patience and encouragement, building up one another, giving our time in godly service, sometimes even suffering for someone else's good. And I believe forgiveness is the strongest witness of cross-shaped love. Last Monday evening at Alpha, we focused on forgiveness, and everyone there admitted it was the hardest commandment of God to fulfill. And yet when we do, the forgiver finds that amazing peace. Paul says, walk in love. Not occasionally, not only when convenient, but every day. And he contrasts this love, which Matt's just read, with selfishness, sexual immorality, vulgar language, greed, impurity. And you know, they all have one thing in common. They say, I want what pleases me. I want what pleases me. Christ says, I gave myself so others may be loved and live life in all its fullness. One path takes, one path gives. We have a choice. Let's walk in love and forgiveness and imitate God. Walk as children of light. Paul says something remarkable. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Beginning of chapter 2, he said that we were dead. Here he says, we were darkness. Not living in darkness, but darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Why? Because God's love and grace transforms us. We become people who reflect the light of Jesus. Think about it. A lighthouse, it doesn't argue with a storm. It simply shines and offers light. Ships lost in a storm in darkness don't need a lecture. They need the light of the lighthouse to bring them to safety. They need light. We live in a confused and morally dark world today. And Paul says, live as children of light. The world needs to witness and experience lives that quietly demonstrate God's light. We're to be honest. We're to be kind, pure, forgiving, offering hope. And Paul goes on to say, try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Tom Wright says, we need to work out. It's not easy. We need to work out. We need to discern. We need to listen to God to know what is pleasing to him. So instead of asking, what can I get away with? We should be asking, what brings joy to our Heavenly Father? Being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and living in love as Christ loves us. Imitate God. Paul then tells us to take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Now, this does not mean becoming harsh or judgmental and going around telling everybody what our next-door neighbour's doing. Verse 3 and verse 12 rules that out. Don't mention it. Rather, darkness is exposed simply by living lives that imitate God and reflect his light. So let our light-bearing lives do the talking. Let our light-bearing lives do the talking. Imitate God. And then Paul quotes what may have been an early Christian hymn. Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I think sometimes as Christians we become spiritually sleepy. At least I know I can. We just go through the routines. You know, we attend church, we say our prayers. But our hearts seem to drift. And God calls us to wake up, to remember our first love, to renew our passion for Christ. Many of us have done it, and I did it this morning. The alarm rings. We press snooze again and again. Because when I put my alarm on, I forgot that I didn't have to open up for the 9 o'clock. I didn't have to be here at 8:10. I could get here at 9:15 because I was preaching. And guess what? I slept for an extra 30 minutes. The question is, will we keep pressing snooze on our spiritual lives? God continues to nudge us, doesn't he, through his word, through the scriptures, through his spirit, through people. We have a choice, the path of self-centeredness and the world, or the path of God's kingdom, where we learn to reflect his light and imitate him. Walk wisely. Oh, that was my snooze. Walk wisely. Paul now changes the picture. Walk carefully. Walk wisely. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil and the enemy is always trying to drag us away from doing the will of God and walking in the opposite direction. No, says Paul, walk the way of wisdom. Don't get wrapped up in all the foolish ways of the world. Don't get drunk on wine. He doesn't say don't drink wine, which is a very good thing. But he's saying don't get overwhelmed by worldly things. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is and be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not about having, in a way, more of Jesus for ourselves. It's allowing Jesus to have more of us. And Paul describes what Spirit-filled people look like. It's lovely. They worship. They encourage one another. They build up. They sing. They give thanks. He says, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having a thankful heart is one of the clearest marks of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do. When life is rubbish and everything's being thrown at us, we may have lost a loved one. We might face redundancy or homelessness. Addictions have grip on us. There's so much that comes our way, and it's hard to be thankful. It's in these situations we need to refocus on Jesus and the cross. Refocus on his resurrection and his ascension. And remember what he has done for us. Imitate God. So today Harriet's surrounded by parents and grandparents and godparents and family and friends. And she will need all of us, because faith grows best in community. And as a church family, we have just promised to pray for her, to encourage her, to teach her about Jesus. So one day she will make her own decision as to whether she wants to follow Jesus and walk in his ways. And our prayer is that the promises spoken over her today as she's been baptized will become convictions of her own heart. Thus, just as she will learn to walk physically eventually, we pray she'll learn to walk spiritually, walking in love and forgiveness, walking in the light as a child of God, walking in wisdom, filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul leaves us with one simple picture. The Christian life is a walk. It's not a sprint. It's not a marathon. It's not a single leap. It's one step after the other. Love, light, wisdom, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And today, as we celebrate her baptism, may we remember, as we've just sung, that we are all God's children. He has chosen and called each and every one of us. And he's called us to keep walking with him. So let us go from today determined to imitate God, to walk in love and forgiveness as Christ loves us and forgives us, to walk in his light, reflecting his goodness, walk in wisdom, making the most of every opportunity, every day that we have, discerning, working out his will, and be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So our lives point others to Jesus, imitators of God. Tom Wright says, these chapters in Ephesians tell us how to be small working models of God's new creation. And our task is to show the wider world what it looks like in practice. If we keep walking in love, walking in light, walking in the Spirit, we will reflect God's love into our parish and local community and further afield into the city of Chester, by both word and deed and action, as we learn to imitate God. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to imitate our Heavenly Father, to love and forgive like him, to shine in a dark world, to be wise, to turn away from foolish living, and to be continually filled with the power of your life-giving Spirit. Let us be imitators of God and know that we are his beloved children. Amen.